Hello, and welcome. It's another episode of Point to Point. Technically my third one today because we're having some technical difficulties, but hey, we're gonna make it work. Hello, this is Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one point to another, and to keep myself from going crazy in this commuter-centric world, I talk to you and attempt to get to the point. Today's point for run to the third time. It's about the combat in South of Midnight, and I'm kind of happy that, you know, I'm obviously never happy to lose an episode or two, but I am kind of happy that I've had a little bit more time to sit with this idea, because there's a couple of things I want to say. The first is, man, I really wish you would have listened to the other ones that didn't ever come out. And I guess second, I do kind of want to focus on South of Midnight and its combat, and even like what the point of combat in video games is, and like games that use their combat in one way, or, you know, maybe it doesn't fit very well. And kind of the big one I've been thinking about with South of Midnight specifically are the Uncharted games and the Tomb Raider reboot games, and particularly because I think both of those games are like thematic story games that have too big of a body count, and I think that it's kind of, I mean, we've talked about this in games for a really long time. This is the whole like ludonarrative dissonance of The Last of Us, etc. But the thing that kind of gets me about these games is that I think that the Uncharted games are really cool puzzle solving and really good kind of thematic character work that I feel like Naughty Dog has become very well known for. And then there's just this weird part where you end up mowing down 30 faceless dudes because, well, not for any reason, really. You know, like, I think that's the thing that kind of gets me about all of this stuff is that, you know, when you're doing violence in a Call of Duty game, or you're doing violence in you know, most of these games, it's like, whoa, these people are tainted with madness and you're the only one who knows how to get out, or these guys are enemies of the state and you must do something about it. And like, the violence is inherent to the game you're playing. Like, the main way that you interact with the game is by committing violence against other characters or items. And in Uncharted, that's not, like, that is the thing that you spend the most time doing, but that's not what the game's about, right? Like, the game's not about Nathan Drake coming to terms with the fact that he is a killer. Like, he's just your lovable scallywag who's out here doing treasure robbing. And so it kind of feels weird to spend a big bulk of these games doing something so like violent and destructive that the game just kind of doesn't really address. Like, even in the A Thief's End, in the fourth one, like, there is talk about the toll that being Nathan Drake has put on Nathan Drake, but not to the extreme that it like forever changes his character and like he has like terrible nightmares about the things that he's done that will change him forever. Because like, you end up doing the same thing in A Thief's End. And so I guess all of that to say that I'm getting similar feelings about the combat in South of Midnight. And a lot of that is that, you know, the combat is not great. Like, it's not fun. I don't find it very enjoyable. It's, I would say that it is like on par with, like, it feels on par with a proto Arkham Asylum. Like, at least games like Arkham Asylum or the Shadow of Mordor games, like all of those games, they have the, you know, like, as you build up the skill tree, like, you can do long presses that do a thing, and then you end up doing combos. And really, at least from what I can tell, about halfway through south of midnight, it's you push X, you hold X, sometimes you can hit Y, and you got some push-pull powers. And so it's kind of torn between these two different kind of combat systems. And the thing that really gets me about it, where it kind of feels tacked on and not core to the game, very similar like the violence in Uncharted, is that it's not like you're not going to run into roving bands of enemies. They're not out there in the world doing stuff. Like, you enter a very explicit combat arena that so far at least has no verticality. It's just, here's big open circle, and now it's time to hit X a lot. And it just feels added on. Like, it does not feel positive or like helpful to the game. It just mostly is sitting there as the thing that you have to engage with in order to get to the next part. Which, understandable that you should like have ways to gauge your content and like kind of break up the monotony of the game. The only thing is that the game already has that, and it's in like halfway decent platforming. Like, it's also a 3D platformer. Like, those push and pull abilities that I was talking about that you use in combat, like, that's how you also navigate the world. Like, you pull yourself across the world by grabbing like floating points that you can kind of zip line to, and you push doors open and push carts in order to get them in the right place to climb up, and then, you know, do the Uncharted shimmy across stuff. Like, it has these really, the platform is very easy. Like, it's a very simple platforming challenge, and I think that if the game focused more on the platforming and like made it more difficult or like more engaging in a way, like that one of the levels I just got to has sprinklers that, like, if you get hit by the sprinkler you fall off and that's bad, and like that's just some good low level hanging fruit for a game like this. And like, you can continue to ramp that up. You know, they've added wall running, there's all of these different things that you can do to engage with the world and travel throughout it. And I think that, like, that is the part of the game that's working for me, and it's because it's thematic to what is happening in the game. So the rough story outline of South of Midnight is that you have a falling out with your mom as a hurricane is rolling in. The hurricane sweeps away the trailer with your mom inside, and you have to chase the trailer down the river. You come into contact with a bunch of zany mythological creatures that it's really hard to tell if everyone can see or not. And then you travel, you unravel these like intense, powerful, like painful stories, and you learn them piece by piece. And then you go to the like boss encounter, whether that's actually engaging with a boss with a health bar, or it's kind of using the combat abilities to attack a wound in the world and kind of allow it to heal, and kind of using all of the knowledge that you've learned about the story of this incredibly pained person, you kind of unravel their story and then finally let them heal. And it's this like nice story of progress and like learning about the hidden challenges that a lot of people are living with, and like the things that make you a person and the choices that you make. And that's great, because it's all about like seeing this very like seemingly poverty-stricken part of like washed out hurricane-stricken Louisiana. And like, that is the story of this game. Like, the whole thing is that your mom is a social worker, and she has a lot of stress and a huge burden by being a social worker, because all she wants to do is help people, and you just wish that she would have come home earlier so you could prepare. And like, hey, selfish teenager going on a journey of discovery to understand that her mom has an interior life. It's not like groundbreaking, but it is like a narrative core that is compelling. And the problem is that you're not defeating your demons. You're not defeating the demons of the person who's afflicted. You're not even, there is no reason, at least that is given at this point in the game, about who is sending these minions, if they are being sent or if they're just manifestations of bad vibes. And it just starts to feel like, well, if there's not a reason for these enemies to be here besides doing a combat, then maybe they just shouldn't be here. And maybe, like, let me explore this world and kind of see what you're doing here and, like, understand the story that you're telling, because that's the part that's fulfilling. Like, that's the part that makes all of this worth it. And the combat isn't, like, so long as it's not, like, doing something that Hazel, the main character, is going to have to react to. Like, she's not saying, oh, man, what has my life come to? I have killed all of these yarn monsters. Because they're just yarn monsters, and, like, we've already abstracted away that, you know, the beings that she is attacking are not real. Like, there's a slug monster. Like, they're not, like, people in that kind of way, and she's having no reflection about them being people. So the, you know, there is no emotionality to her, you know, fighting these monsters. All of the emotion and all of the like, pathos that she is having is actually in the narrative of the game. And, like, also by going around and exploring the environment and finding the notices of this, like, very poverty-stricken area and, like, doing all of that. Like, that's where the emotions are in the game. So just let me do that part. And I guess here's the thing. You can. The reason that I'm actually kind of happy that this hopefully will go out and... I missed this in the last two. I did some digging, and it turns out that you can do exactly what I want, which is you can basically turn off all of the combat encounters, but still keep the boss encounters, so you are able to experience the best part of this game, and I just appreciate that. So, yeah, that's South of Midnight. Awesome. I will talk to y'all later, and have a good one. See ya.